ways in which we still serve us. To give it before the Lord and bring it to Him. We can see it in the light. Okay. Look at you again. We just need the 25th. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul, and He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will see Him. For You are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. It's been a joy doing this little series with you, Prison 3. As you come to the end of the series, just a reminder that we started the series saying, we're going to question those beliefs, those paradigms that often govern our lives, and make us live in certain ways and ask them questions to see if they're really valid or if there's a different way that we can live before God. Today, maybe the last question we should ask is this. What would it take for us to take these promises that we've seen in the last 3 years and live the promises that the Lord makes in Psalm 23 in our lives in the 3 days? Is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible? In this world of want and worry, to be free of any of these things, to really be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to worry. He's going to take care of me. He's going to have me in His hand. And because the Lord's my shepherd, I will lack nothing. I'm not going to want for anything. Because all of God's resources are available to us. Is it possible to say with unshakable confidence that whatever happens, whatever challenge, whatever obstacle comes over my way, I won't be afraid to say the words, "You will lead me to green pastures." He's going to take such good care of me that I'm going to do the opposite of what He's going to do. I'm going to lie down in the grass. I'm going to go to the deep dark valleys. I'm going to be afraid. Is it possible? Because if you're honest, that's not how most people that's just how we really live our lives. David says, it is possible, but here's the thing. To be able to live the promises of Psalm 23 every day of your life has nothing to do with what you have or don't have, with how easy or how hard your life is, or how your circumstances look like. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the answer we gave to the very first question we asked, and that's who's coming. Who is your shepherd? Because Psalm 23 is not about us. It's about God. Who God is. how God cares. How God provides. And if I want to experience those promises, if I want to experience this kind of life in this world, that's where I need to start with my answer to that first question. Think about this one. First part of the Psalm of verse 5, David is talking about everyday life. And he talks about how God cares, takes me to green pastures, lets me lie down, refreshes my soul, cares for me when I go through these deep dark valleys, things that will happen every day in my life. Then at the end, all of a sudden, David changes his focus a little bit, and he moves from everyday to the future. He says, if I look at God, surely the goodness and the love of the Lord will follow us all the days of my life. The day after that. And to say that this morning is easy. Because things are good, but what happens? What happens when my body breaks down? Is it still so easy to say, all His goodness and mercy are with me all the days of my life? What happens when I lose my job and I have a family to care for? What happens when I can't pay the bills? What happens when my children become rebellious and they turn their backs on God, and the more I pray, the less they turn to God? What happens when I've been praying so long, Lord, I'm so lonely. Please bring someone in my life. And still there is not someone. These things can test our faith. So he began to say, that's what I want to take you this morning. To the future. Promise not just for today and tomorrow. Three things I want you to notice. When it says we don't have to commit to the future because we don't slide for this day, God's goodness is watching over me all the time. Think of this for a second. What did we say in the first point? Who called me? My shepherd. Who called me by my name? My shepherd. Who is the one who takes care of me? My shepherd. Who is the one who says, I am prepared to lay down my life for you? My shepherd. And all of these things he does because he says, I love you, you're mine, and I want to care for you, and I will give you all my goodness. And you say, okay, my goodness, tell me, what does goodness mean? David tells us exactly what goodness means. Get that verse 5 up there, please. Here's what goodness means. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Let's wear that to you for a second. All beautiful, beautiful images of the sheep of God. When David says, Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, he's saying this. God's goodness looks like this. Even when things are hard and tough around me, and it looks like they're going to overwhelm me, God says, come here. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to sustain you. Come sit. Come eat. So I can make you strong. And don't be afraid of them, because all they can do is they're looking on. They're not going to stick at this table or take anything away that I've put on the table for you. It's yours. And no enemy can take what is yours away, because my goodness is yours. Come sit and eat. You see, life doesn't end with a grave. The future is not a grave to death. The future is a table with a world. And the enemies will stand on the outside and say, I love them. Look at them. Look at them. Look at the goodness of the Lord and all the rest. Goodness of the Lord says, can you, Lord, anoint my head with oil? Two images. The one you know well. The first image of anointing the head is when someone would come to your house, you would have this wonderful fragrant olive oil that they would give you so that you could put that on your face after walking in the sun and just cool your face down in your hands. And you smell so good, saying your gift of honor and your welcome. But there's a second one, and Kimberly knows as well because he sent me an article about Philip Geller, that wrote in the book about shepherds' faith on 23. Tells us about this, he's a shepherd. When it's 25 of the year, the sheep are pestered by all kinds of insects and bugs. And they're flying to their ears, and they're flying to their eyes, and they're flying to their noses. And they bother these poor sheep so much that the sheep are always banging their heads against everything that they can get to try and get rid of these things. What they also do is they lay eggs in the noses of these sheep, and then they get worms. And it drives them crazy. You know what the shepherds do? They pour oil over their heads. And the oil goes in the ears and around the eyes and in the nose, and the insects go away. When all these things come that want to pester me and go where they shouldn't be going and hurt my life and make my life uncomfortable, I can look at the shepherd and say, and sit at the table and know something. Let me just pour the wine. Maybe the most beautiful is the last. Goodness of the Lord says, he makes Lord, not even 100%, more than that, and use the beauty to think of this for a second. As God fills my cup of joy, and it starts overflowing, you know what happens? It splashes all over the place, and you're all kind of saying, get away from me! No! As it splashes out, my joy overwhelms God. And it touches Scott, and it starts working in him, and it goes right to Amy and Jeremy. And before you know it, we're all splashed in the goodness and the joy of the Lord, because God filled my cup to overflowing. I'm so glad you got it. When I pray for his peace, he doesn't just say, peace to you, Lord. He gives me so much peace that I pray for peace to you. And it goes from one to the other, because then God fills Susan and her peace flows over and close. When I ask him for forgiveness, I just can't help it. I have to give the forgiveness that I receive so quickly. I have to live. Life and attack, God's grace, God's mercy is working in me. We read the line that says, surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. Can you remember the old translation used the different word for love? Used the word mercy. The Hebrew word that he uses here is the word chesed. And just this last Thursday at the Bible school, Bible study, I explained to folks there's few words in Hebrew for love. First one, ahav. We know that so well, that covenant love that God has. Then there's that amazing word that we've come out, which is God's compassionate love. And then there's that one called chesed. We often translate this word with the word everlasting, unchanging love. It's at the root of this love. Maybe you're thinking, okay, what's the difference between goodness and grace? Here's the difference, and there's a slide for that. God's goodness is when God gives me what I don't deserve. But God's grace is when God doesn't give me what I do deserve. Does that make sense? God's goodness is when He fills that cup and overflowing, and I did not deserve that. When He puts me at a table, and I did not deserve that. That's His goodness. His mercy is when I mess up. And I fail. Because remember what we called ourselves? Sheep. Just like sheep. We often walk our own way. And we get lost. And we end up in dry places. We end up in places of lack. We end up in places of danger. The fear of our lives, knowing that this will take our lives away, and we need that mercy and that grace of a shepherd that says, I will go looking for you. And I will find you, for I will leave 99 to find the one. With a lot of shortcomings in your relationship with God. Have you messed up lately? God says, my goodness and my grace is always available. Can I let you know a little secret? None of us can ever use our God's grace ever. We see so many churches, the lovely effects, never gives up, never gives up. Goodness, the grace of the Lord is in such abundance that we can never ever exhaust that. It's here, the shepherds, the shepherds. And then, something, there's a slide for that. God's glory. His goodness watches over me. His grace and His mercy is in me. It's something a little bit bigger. God's glory is waiting for me. There's the last verse again in that song that I did. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. Not just in this week, but also in the world to come. Because you see, my friends, life is more than eating, working, sleeping, repeat. Eating, working, sleeping, repeat. Eating, working, sleeping. Life is more than just the number of years that God blesses me in this world, whether it be 1, 10, 50, 70, 90. Saves the best of your life. Because even in this world, when I come to that moment to say goodbye to this world and this old body that's so broken, that's not the end. Because God's glory is waiting for me. And when I walk in there, I'm going to hear that moment is welcome, good and faithful sheep. I took you to many green pastures. to do so in so many deep-like ways. But now, to the set of the table of life, to give it to you at that minute of the table. So your cup can have more. And for all, and if you know the Lord that you're suffering in your life every day, then remember this. There will come a moment when there will be no more deaths, and there will be no more tears. But the only crying that we will be doing is crying of joy and happiness and abundance because we're standing in the presence of the Lord. So many millions of dollars.